all that I can be.
Well, I was going to say this.
And maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie, but that's not true because I see a man but feel a child. There are some of us who can hear a voice inside, a truthful voice that says, yes, you were born to fly, you were born to fly. Will I come to be? I have a choice now, so I guess it's up to me. Maybe I will make a difference in this world. Maybe I will teach another boy or another girl how to fly.
Radio. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. I wasn't hearing anything, and I thought maybe we'd gotten disconnected.
Can you hear me?
I can barely hear you. I can't hear anything.
Okay. Hang tight with me, okay?
All right.
Aloha. I think I'm on live on air. Aloha. I am your host, May Leilani, and this is the Universal spiritual connection. Mahalo to all the listeners of Pal Talk and BBSRadio.com. Our call-in numbers are USA toll-free 877-270-8714, Canada 888-861-3519, and our direct lines are 530-876-9026 or 876-3223 and 413-4515. And here we go once again. This is a very passionate show for me this evening, and I know it will be for all of you as well. And before we get started tonight, I just want to give some background history of our guests for this evening. Not only are we going to have one guest tonight, we're actually going to have another guest. We are not only going to be honoring our children and our grandchildren worldwide this evening, but we're also going to honor Yolanda Baby, which is a greyhound that was adopted by the author in January of 2002. It is a real privilege for me to have this opportunity to have Yolanda Baby onto this show this evening. And she is also going to be with Joanne Boltinghouse. And Joanne is not only the owner of Yolanda Baby, but she's also an author, writer, and teacher. And Joanne's passion is all about developing self-confidence and a strong feeling of positive self-esteem, a self-esteem advocate for children. Her wonderful website is www.yolandababy.com. And without further delay, let's welcome both of our guests onto the show this evening, and let's get right to business because there's a wealth of information that I am very excited and honored to have this privilege to share with each of you this evening. Are you with me, Joanne?
Yes, I am, and I can hear you now.
Oh, excellent. Well, it is really an exciting show for me, and I just want to let you know I'm extremely honored to have you with us.
Well, thank you. It is certainly my pleasure. And Yolanda Baby is laying here on the floor beside me. She's just quite bored with all her celebrity status. So greyhounds are one of the five laziest breeds of dogs, so she takes a lot of naps.
Oh, wonderful. Well, you know, it's really interesting. The first thing I would really, truly like to do is I really want to honor Yolanda. And I am so thrilled, you know, because they're wonderful, wonderful dogs. And I'd like to bring spend a few moments to bring the awareness worldwide to all our listeners this evening about these wonderful greyhounds. And I'd like to encourage each of our listeners tonight to really think about looking, if you're looking for a wonderful, loyal companion, let's think about a greyhound. Would you like to share more about Yolanda with our listeners this evening?
Yes, I would. Yolanda came to live with us, as you say, it'll be 6 years in January, and we have always had a lot of dogs. We lived in the country, and we were able to have big dogs and outdoor dogs, and we moved to town, quote, our little town of 5,000, and our dog had died, so we had pretty much decided we were downsizing, and we probably wouldn't have a pet. We were going to travel and so forth. We were feeling dog deprived. So we had read about the greyhounds. We had seen them at some of the shopping malls when they had the meet and greets. And so I started researching, and we have a race track, a greyhound track, about 50 miles from us, and they have a dog farm in connection with that. I called them, and they interviewed us like it was harder than getting a child almost. But they are very, very careful about the homes that you have, but you know how to take care of them. You need to have some sort of a fence. But they are wonderful, loyal pets. They're very easy to train. They're housebroken. They try to get the right dog with the right personality, with the right family. And we just immediately, just like in the story in the book, we fell in love with her and said, she looks like a winner to us. Even though she didn't win very many races at the track, we brought her home, and she's become very special in our community and in our family, and we're in, as I mentioned, in a town of 5,000 people, so everyone in Harlan knows this dog. And when their grandchildren come to visit, because they all have copies of the book, they all have to come see Yolanda Baby and have their picture taken with her, and she's just become a great celebrity.
I can imagine so, because, you know, my personal encounter with these wonderful, wonderful dogs is they have such an incredibly sweet disposition with them. I mean, you can just feel that spirit from them, and they're so gentle, even they're in their approach to even an adult, and so it makes such wonderful sense that, you know, they bring so much to the plate for our children worldwide. And I understand that the two of you have been on this wonderful mission together. Would you like to share with our listeners tonight this how Yolanda has really helped you?
Helped with working with the children?
Yes.
I take her with me. If I'm close enough when I'm working in schools, I read to the younger elementary children. I do writer's workshops with the 4th through 6th grades. And if I can, and I read in libraries. I've read the book to over 7,000 children in its prior to publication form and since it's been published. And if I'm close enough that I can take her, I don't travel with her overnight, but I take her with me. And we lay her blanket down. She lays down on it. I read to the children. And then when we're done, they all get up and pet her. And she just absolutely loves it. And the children, many children have never seen a greyhound. So I tell them about the greyhound, that they can run 40 to 45 miles an hour, that they are a sight dog. They aren't a scent dog. They can see a long distance, how their body is designed for speed, and we talk about all of those different things. And then that the kids, because she is so gentle, they respond. I mean, children who didn't want to pet her because they're afraid of dogs, by the time we're done, those children are up petting her because there's nothing about her to fear. She has such soft brown eyes, and she looks at the kids with this wonderful look that it just melts you. And kids have not had that experience. I work in a lot of inner-city schools where sometimes the only dogs kids have been around are pit bulls, and you know, they don't have a relationship with the dog. It's a dog. So it's very calming for children, and she just adores it. I mean, she thinks everyone that comes to our door at our house comes to see her. But you know, she just is. It's a great animal, which made it a good animal for facial expressions to tell the story of children and building their self-esteem and their self-perception and dealing with their feelings and emotions.
Oh, you know, I could really feel that in my heart, and I personally want to thank you here on the radio, because it's so needed worldwide. You know, I'm a mother, and a lot of our listeners are too. We have grandchildren, and I personally love children because we can learn so much. And it hurts my heart to see our children today having so many challenges that would have been just absolutely mind-boggling to me if, you know, I was in the position today with what's going on in our world. So I personally thank you, and I thank Yolanda Baby for her wonderful gift that she's given to all these children, which is definitely love and acceptance. And
right.
So that's just really nice. Before we go further in sharing the title of Joanne's wonderful book, I'd like to read this to all of you. As a former elementary teacher and corporate trainer of adults, I find that people do not always listen to what we say, but will listen to a dog. In my research for this series, I have interviewed many children ages 4 to 12. I wanted to see what issues they are dealing with and concerns they have in developing self-esteem and a strong feeling of positive self-esteem. And let me just take a moment to give you that website once again, and that is www.YolandaBaby.com. And for all you wonderful Pal Talk listeners, I have Joanne's name and Yolanda Baby's information up. I invite all our listeners of BBS Radio and Pal Talk I've got a wealth of information about Joanne and their wonderful work and all of Joanne's books as well. I've just got a wealth of information, so I invite you to follow the show just by through my show page alone. So on that note, Joanne, share the title of your book with all our listeners and what was the main catalyst and inspiration that really brought you onto this journey.
Well, the title of the book is Yolanda Baby, A Pooch Finds Her Purpose. And as I was doing my research, I found there are a lot of books out there that teach children right from wrong and good and bad behavior, but there were not many books that I could find that dealt with how do you feel when things happen to you. And our feelings are really what cements our self-perception, our image of who we are. And most of that is pretty well set by the time we're 8 years old. We can change it. I mean, we can change how we see ourselves, but it's a little more difficult, and I think most of us will realize that when we stop to think about different things that happen, we go back and we look and we think, well, that's why I feel that way, because this is what was said or done to or for me when I was little. And because we give sanction to those people, we believe what they say. And so I wanted to deal with young children before they got so many negative things programmed in their mind that they could feel genuinely, authentically feel good about themselves because of something they had done well. I tell children, just because you're a boy does not mean you have to be the quarterback. And just because you're a girl does not mean you have to be a ballerina. You each have talents, and we tend to compare the worst of us to the best of someone else, and then that makes us feel bad. And so then we don't know how to deal with those feelings. Children know they have feelings, but they don't know that they're feelings. And quite often as adults, we get so busy in our everyday life, and mother's working and father's working and 45 activities that everybody's in, that we don't sit down and have time to think about our feelings and talk about them. And a book, whether it's my book or another book, but I happen to think mine is a good one, to sit down with children and talk about your feelings. How does it feel? You know, Yolanda didn't make it at the racetrack, so the other dogs called her names, and we get called names sometimes at school, and then she had to go to a different place, and it's fearful to move to a new town or go to a new school, and I'm trying to deal with feelings that children have every day, but they may not know how to verbalize, and parents don't really know how to ask. They may not even be aware that the kids are feeling this way, and So a book gives you a chance to sit down in a quiet time and think about these things. And in the beginning of the book, there's a parent tutorial so that parents know some questions to ask, like, how do you feel when someone says not nice things about you? Who really loves you? How do they show that love? How do you show love for someone else? And so that we can talk about feelings, because I think so often as adults we think, oh, you know, it's just kids and 5 years from now it's no big deal. Well, it isn't a big deal. It may not be earth-shattering, but it could be life-changing. Because I tell parents and teachers when I work with them, just remember the words you say today to that child will stay with them forever.
Absolutely, and I'm a great example of that, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners that are tuned in at this very moment are all agreeing with me at this time as well. You know, I personally work with a lot of clients, but on a personal note, Joanne, you know, there was a lot of healing that I personally had to really focus on with my emotional and mental, because, you know, as I was growing up, you know, it was constantly programmed into me is that, you know, I wasn't good enough, or I'd never make it, or I wouldn't make something of myself, or, you know, oh my goodness, I didn't make straight A's on my report card. I made a B this time. And, you know, and I came from a very strict background. So when I made a B, I mean, it was, what do you mean you made a B? You know, and they do. They have real emotional and mental effects. So then we wonder as we get older in life, you know, why we have, well, we personally walk around, I think, a lot of times very dysfunctional in so many ways because of that self-low esteem that we've been so programmed with by our peers even.
Very true, and we find with this increase in bullying in schools and outside the school, but the people who are doing, the children and young people who are doing the bullying usually have the lowest self-esteem, and they are trying to build themselves up by putting someone else down. And quite often that's not recognized by the layperson because they think, well, this bully has a lot of self-confidence and a lot of self-esteem. Well, not really. They have aggression, and they may have anger, but they're not. They don't know how to verbalize that, and they may not have the, what we might say, the palette of words that they can function verbally, so they do it physically. And because they're dealing with a lot of emotions, and, you know, you were just saying how you were told, you know, maybe you couldn't amount to anything. I have a great story. I don't know if we have to go to a break or anything, but there are twin boys in our little town that their father was a doctor, and he died when they were about 7 or 8 years old, and they were the youngest two of eight children. And when they were in high school, they were ornery. They were not mean or malicious, but they were just ornery boys and didn't have a father in the home. And the high school guidance counselor called them in and said, you two boys better just figure out some kind of a job to get because neither one of you are ever going to amount to anything. Yes. Now, they could have taken that and given sanction to it, and sometimes children do. But these two boys didn't. They went on to college. It took them a little extra time to get through, but they have come back to our community. One is our local physician, and the other one is the dentist who bought my husband's dental practice. So here are two twin boys that were told they wouldn't amount to anything, and they come back as a doctor and dentist to our community. And I love that story.
I do, too, and I'm really glad that you shared it with us tonight because it kind of reminds me a little of myself as well. You know, I just had this internal part of myself that just, you know, at first I did it because I'll show you that I will make it in life. And, of course, now I know better because now I do it in a very balanced, healthy way. And, you know, it's a matter of me learning to become my very best friend, and that I'm wonderful and special and very unique in my own special way in everything that I choose to do in life, and to be the best person that I can be. And I see children all the time. You know, if I go grocery shopping or, you know, pop in and out of Walmart, I see so many children sad and so withdrawn within themselves. And I was like that as well for many years. And it was huge for me to even get on radio, because I was always, even in my adult life, I was very quiet, unwilling to share my feelings, and now that has all changed for me. So you can imagine the barriers that I had to personally break through. And
right.
So people like you, Joanne, are priceless.
Well, thank you. It has really become a mission for me to help children, and there are so many children that do not have books. My grandmother lived with us. I was adopted, so I was always different. And my parents were older when they adopted me, and so I was always around adults. And my grandmother lived with us, and she was in a wheelchair, and she taught me to read before I went to school. So, and being an only child and growing up on a farm, books became my friends, and so I just can't imagine people not liking to read or wanting to read, and I think books can become such an important part of children's lives. And I know I donate books to, like, the Salvation Army at Christmas, because many children don't ever get a book, let alone a new book. And last year I donated quite a few, and they told me that, you know, this is so great because we get new toys, but we don't get books, and we don't get new books. And most of these children have never owned a book. So lots of times when I go into inner city schools, I will give books to the kids, and I will write their name in them. And they walk around with this book like, you know, it's such a treasure. My husband and I went down to an open door mission in the city, and I read to 40 homeless children and gave them all a book with their name in it. And these little kids were walking around there like they had just been given the greatest gift in the world, because they had a book, a new book.
So share with our listeners this evening, because, you know, I'm not only a mother, but I'm a grandmother as well. And, you know, I always grew up loving books, and I still today love books, and I'm reading books constantly on my end. And I, you know, the listeners have heard many a times, knowledge is power. It can really make a huge difference in our lives. It also gives us a sense of creativity, hope, the desire to really rise up and live life fully as a healthy, well-rounded individual as we grow up. And I'm actually going to start collecting books to give to children, because I do know, I could see that where these children, I mean, this was, you know, the best thing in the world when you handed those books. So can you share with us?
It was, and it gives us such a sense of fulfillment, and it just really makes you feel good because you've done the right thing for the right reasons.
Yes, and it opens up a whole new world to them that they may not necessarily have the opportunity at this very moment to realize what a wonderful world we all truly live in. And they can live that through these books as well. And so your books that you've written, obviously it shares with them that they are special, that they can achieve anything in life that they choose in their own direction.
Some of the other issues that in the next five books that we're going to deal with, In the next book, she's going to go to school, and she will meet more friends than those that she meets at the end of The Pooch Finds Her Purpose. The next one, she's going to go to school. She's going to get a nickname, because kids get nicknames, and we're going to position that at first she doesn't quite know whether that's good, but then she realizes that it's good because it means that they like her, they've taken her in. And then she's going to learn to be a therapy dog, and so she's going to see that she has to practice, and she's not going to be perfect at first. She has to work at it. So she's going to be proud of what she did today, and as she takes the steps to become a therapy dog. Then in one of the books, one of her pet friends is going to die, and she's going to deal with death and what that means. And then in one of the books, the Bippers are either going to have a baby or they're going to get another dog. I don't know for sure. I won't know till we get into it. But the books kind of seem to just take off on their own. But she's going to wonder if there's enough love for her when this other creature comes into her home. And so those are some of the issues that children face today that I want to bring out. How do you feel when this happens to you?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. You let me know when you've completed this book. I'd love to have you back on the show again. Because
well, it would be my pleasure.
Is one of the most utmost missions here on this planet. And I want to remind all our listeners this evening is that it's our children. It's not your child or my child. We're talking about our children, our leaders, our teachers worldwide. And I just want you guys to just think about that for just one moment. I ask that each of you take a moment to become more aware of your surroundings as you pop in and out of a grocery store, into a retail store. Just observe the children around you and ask yourselves this evening how that you may contribute, even if it's just a small way, and how you can touch a child's heart. And so please continue, Joanne.
Well, a suggestion that I have made to many times when I work with parents, because they want to know, well, what can I do? And, you know, I'm working with my own child, but I see other children, and you know, the worthwhile cause is doing things because it's the right thing to do. Many times I've said, well, write down a list of children that you know between 3 and 10 that you feel would benefit from having a book like this, that you could buy the book. You can write them a personal note in it. If you order it through my website, I can write the note in it. But they can get them at the bookstores. If they don't have them, they can order them for them. They can get them on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. But writing a note in the beginning of the book where the big purple ribbon is inside, we write their name and the date, and then we write a little note. And lots of times what I write is, may you find your purpose and celebrate your talents, and then I sign it, because the children know that that is their book then, and if, you know, if it's grandchildren, you can write in it, this is from your, you know, from your grandma Susie, may you find your purpose, and may you celebrate your talents like Yolanda Baby did, writing little notes in the books, because when we downsized and we had our kids getting their stuff out of the house that we lived in for 25 years, they had many books and books that their grandparents had given them that they had written notes in, books we had written notes in, and they made sure that they kept every book that had been given to them that had a note written in it. So I always write notes in books. Even if I didn't write the book, I write a note in it whenever I give someone a book. Why I bought that book for them, or why I think it's special for them.
Oh, that is so beautiful, Joanne. I'm just sending you lots of love and hugs to both of you, because, you know,
well,
children are so incredibly precious. And, you know, I just love children. Even if I didn't have a child, I would, you know, I just love scooping them up and just hugging them and kissing them and And I love watching it. You know what I do sometimes on my spare time is I'll go to a shopping center, and I will sit within the playground area and watch the little ones just play and have a great time and meeting other children their ages. And it's so cute to watch them get to know each other. And, of course, I always make sure I sit at a distance so I don't make any parents nervous or mm-hmm. anything like mm-hmm. that. But I did want to share this once again with our listeners this evening. A self-esteem advocate, Joanne's mission in life is to help people be better at what they do, no matter what they may be. She is an educator, trainer, speaker, and a grandmother as well. She lives and resides in Idaho.
Iowa.
Thank you. With her husband.
My daughter lives in Idaho.
Yeah. Well, it's really interesting because the ink smeared on my paper.
Oh,
it just
okay.
happened to be at that one area of all places. But she lives with her beloved husband and Yolanda baby. When Joanne isn't teaching or writing, you can find her curled up with a great book and a bowl of popcorn, enjoying worldwide travel with family and friends, or creating new ideas for interacting with her grandchildren. And her website, once again, is www.yolandababy.com. And let me repeat that, yolandababy.com. But please continue, Joanne.
Well, I just, I guess in kind of carrying on with this whole thought about the positive impact that we can have, I travel a lot by plane, and my husband and I both like aisle seats, so we will try to get seats across the aisle from each other. And so usually I'm sitting with someone, you know, and we have a conversation. And the last couple of times I've been with a young mother with this last trip, one leg of it, I was sitting by a young mother with two children. And she was just wonderful with these children. And I try to always have a book or two in my briefcase. And so sometimes I just watch for someone that I think is just doing a great job, is well-deserving, that I can give a book to. And in this case, I've got the book out, let her look at it. She read it to her little boys. And her husband is a soldier, just gotten back from Iraq and is going to be deployed again. And he was going to be meeting her. She had been to visit her parents. And so I said, may I give your children a gift? Because, again, you don't want to be giving, you know. And she said, well, yes. And so I wrote in the book and gave it to these little boys. And that was the first thing that, you know, they had to show their dad when they got off the plane, when he met them then, that this lady sat with them and she wrote this book and she gave us a book. And I found quite a few times that I've been with families or been with young mothers that their husbands were in the service in Iraq or Afghanistan, and to be able to give them a book, it just gave me the greatest feeling, because we're so appreciative of what our soldiers and or our service people are doing, and to be able to give them something in return, however little it is just real rewarding. So I think we can find lots of things that we can do to make children feel good about themselves. And like you say, giving them a smile or you know, just an encouragement, because maybe that's the only smile they got today.
Yes. Yes. I know, you know, if I'd have just had that one person that really cheered me on as I was growing up, you know, going through school. And, of course, I did very well in school, and I was very active in different clubs and those kinds of things, like what normal kids do is, you know, we get very much involved. But it was really interesting because what I found when I started to recap those years is that a lot of times I didn't do it because of it was a desire in my heart, in my own personal heart. I did it to fill up a void within myself, to feel as though people were seeing me, that I was important enough, and I did it all for the wrong reasons. You know, I was a cheerleader, the captain, and so forth. But it was all a status quo for me, is where, well, look at me. I'm the captain, and I'm a cheerleader. And that was because I felt so empty inside of me.
And see, that's where, in reality, as you and I know now, that was really low self-esteem, and we're trying to overachieve to compensate for that. The person with true, authentic, internal, positive self-perception and self-esteem doesn't need to do that. They probably do some of it, but they're, like you say, they're doing it for a different reason. They're doing it because they have this desire to do it, not to do it to look good and to, that's kind of how your self-worth is how active I am and how successful. I mean, I was this overachiever because I felt I had to work twice as hard, be twice as successful to be thought half as good.
Absolutely, and I found that same behavior pattern flooded into my adult life. I was a high achiever myself, and what really is exciting for me today is that it's the heart that matters. It's the to connect with another human being, heart to heart, and to truly sit down and communicate, and the biggest thing for me is to really sit and listen, not only with what the person is saying verbally, but listening as well as what they're not saying. And I've become a much better human being because of it.
Yeah. We have a really good friend who says he really looks at what is the spirit of intent. You know, why are we doing things? What's the spirit of intent? We can make mistakes, but if we have the spirit of intent of doing what's right, but we screw up a little bit, that's okay. But if the spirit of intent is to harm someone or to only make ourselves look better by tearing someone else down, then that's not a good spirit of intent. So he really looks at what's the spirit of intent?
Yes. Oh, I love it. I just love it, Joanne. I really would like to ask that you give Yolanda Baby a huge hug and lots of love from me as well. Because, you know, what's so wonderful is that as you continue on your journey and touch so many hearts on this mission, you know, Yolanda Baby is so authentic. These children can really connect with her because, you know, I felt, even though I was very active and did well in everything that I thought I was achieving and that was important, I had that, as you said earlier, that low self-esteem, unwilling to share my feelings. I was very withdrawn. Of course, that was all a big front when I, you know, got to school. You know, I puffed my chest up and gave that projection that all was well within myself and in my own environment, which was just opposite. It was a lie. It was an absolute lie. Mm-hmm. And for Yolanda Baby, for me to connect with her, she makes me feel pretty darn good about being a reject myself.
Well, that's great. Well, she is a very special ambassador of goodwill to children. That's for certain.
Well, I want you to know tonight, Joanne, if there's anything that I can do ever to support you and Yolanda Baby and your personal mission, and healing so many wonderful little hearts and to cheer them on. And I will work on doing my part as well, but if there's anything I could ever do, please don't hesitate to call
upon
me.
I won't. That is great. And I have your email address here. I will email you a couple of articles that I've written that you might enjoy reading.
I'd love that very much so.
Okay. Where
they
are you located?
There are leaders in today's world, aren't they? And they're actually teaching us quite a few things, us adults.
That's true. That's true. Where are you located?
Well, I'm in Arizona.
Oh, okay.
So anytime you come to Arizona and you're doing a speaking event here or whatever the case may be, and you need someone to come in and help you, I'd be happy to do so.
That's great. Are you in the Phoenix area?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, very good.
Absolutely. You're going to be one of my biggest fans, believe me. And I'm going to check in periodically into your one website to see what new endeavors you guys got going on. And you just let me know as well.
I will do that. Well, there is a link on the website to an article on spanking that I was interviewed by the New York Daily News, and they wrote an article based on my views on spanking and punishment, and so there is a link on my website to go to that article. You might enjoy that.
I will. I will definitely do that, because it's been about a week since I reviewed your website,
mm-hmm.
so, please forgive me. But I
oh, that's okay. No problem.
But I
did
do a lot of research on you, young lady.
Huh?
I did do a lot of research on you.
Well, I can tell that by your interview. That's good.
Oh, thank you. Please share one more time the title of your book and your website again. We're getting close to the end of the show. Can you believe it, Joanne?
I know. It went really fast. The name of the book is Yolanda Baby, A Pooch Finds Her Purpose. And her purpose was not to win races, which most greyhounds, that's their purpose, but to become a dog, to become a pet, to become part of a family. And the website is www.yolandababy.com, and they can get the book there or they can get it in bookstores. And I just recommend that everybody listening needs to get one for their children and their grandchildren so they can sit down and have quiet time and read with them and explore their feelings.
Absolutely. Well said. Is there any last-minute thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners before I have to say goodnight to you?
Well, I think a little story that when one of my grandsons was about 5, I was cooking in the kitchen, and he was jabbering to me like 5-year-olds do, and I said, And pretty soon he comes up, and he puts his hands on my cheeks, looks at me, and says, "Grandma, look at me when I talk to you." And that really gave me a wake-up call that children need to be listened to. And if we can listen to them when they're little and start to build trust, that when they're 5, they trust, but when they're 15, they're going to be able to trust us, and they will come to us, be more likely to come to us with their problems. Because
Thank
we're building
you.
Our future with the children that we're raising today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Joanne. It has been a real honor to have you on this show along with Yolanda Baby. It's been an honor as well to have you with us tonight. And great work, Joanne, really great work. And I'm really honored to even know you and have had the opportunity to speak with you. On that note, I ask that all our listeners tonight ask yourselves what you could do to touch a little one's life and their hearts. I call upon our beloved Father, the creator of this universe, to gather all our children worldwide and bring forth your loving hands to protect each and every one of them. I ask for a special dispensation tonight from you, Father, for you are the power and the glory. Heal our children. Rise them up, O children of the world. know that you are indeed loved and very, very special to all of us. I want to say to all of you, remember to love thyself, for you are the great mighty I Am presence, the power and the intelligence to change not only your world, but to change every life that you always come in contact worldwide. On that note, I say good night to each and every one of you, and be well.